You are exciting.
Because
I am exciting. Because this is my 25th birthday today.
Happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday to me. Happy birthday, dear Herb. Happy birthday to you. Wonderful. We can all sing to ourselves. We can all announce to ourselves and what we're doing and how wonderful we are, and be how wonderful we are. And if anyone sings with us, great. If nobody sings with us, great. And Endless?
Yes.
You have just put that bag over Lucky's face again. Curl it down. There you go. Hi, Lucky.
Lucky's on this side.
Yeah. So, hi. I'd like to see you up behind that bag. They keep putting that bag on the table here, and the bread bag, you know, and the bread bag keeps getting emptier and emptier and emptier because a lot of very wonderful, hungry people here celebrating a birthday breakfast. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing in Campo, California, here in Owerri, Nigeria. We are having a seminar here, and we are sharing thoughts on the values of what makes life go round. And how, when we have our values in order, everything is in order. Now, my value for myself is that I am... Mabel tries to mess me up here. Mabel comes in and I tell her, Mabel, I'm 25 years old. She says, no, you're 16. Well, what's Mabel's problem? She sees me with her eyes and she's 16. So she sees me 16, you know? We all see everyone in our world exactly how we see ourselves. Now, Sybil, how do you see me? It's whatever you want to say.
Just my reflection.
Yes, I know I'm your reflection, but how old a reflection am I?
Ageless.
Huh?
Ageless.
That's nice, isn't it? Would you like to be ageless?
Yes.
Hey, cool. Yes. That means you never end and you never began.
Yes.
You just always... And what are you when you're ageless? You are always all the knowledge, all the wisdom, everything, right? When you're ageless, you don't go to school and learn because you already know. When you're ageless, you don't work on your body to make it healthy. It already is. And you merely claim it. Can you claim your agelessness?
Yes.
Oh, boy. That was easy. Now, how do you go about claiming your agelessness?
I am eternal.
Oh, man. I am eternal. How do you claim your agelessness?
Living it.
How do you claim it?
I know I am.
You're getting closer. How do you claim it?
Being it.
I am it.
I am it. Yes.
If you don't say I am it, you say being it and all these other statements, it could be anybody. It could be for anyone. I am it. I like me. I am fantastic. I am glorious. I am supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. I am the greatest guy on earth. And you know, this may come as a shock to you. The shock to you is I'm the only one on earth. I am number one. I am super. I am fantastic. I am wonderful. Everything happens in my world for me according to what my thought is. And you happened in my world according to my thought.
Mm-hmm.
See how lucky I am? Now, what happens in your world? Do you happen in my world only? Or do I happen in your world? How do you get me in your world? How do you get any of us in your world? Huh?
Thinking.
Claim it. I 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 claim it. Now, Unity has taught for years that you should claim. Religious science taught for years, claim your good, claim your good, you know. And people still don't do it. They still don't understand it. When I first went to Unity, it was 50 years old. Now it's over 100 years old. So, Unity has been teaching this, claim your reality, claim your good. We teach this, claim your good. But not so much a matter of claiming it as an object, but claiming it as a value. When you have values, then everything works out for you. Now, what is your value of yourself? What is your value? Do you think that you are a moral, a fine quality person?
I am.
That was a simple answer, wasn't it? I am. How did you become a moral, responsible, fantastic person?
I am it, always.
It's my nature.
Yes.
Okay, thank you. I let her play with words too, but it's your nature. Now, what is, and I'll give you the answer before I give you the question, what is your original purity and integrity? Your original purity and integrity is what?
Who I am. My original purity and integrity.
Her original purity and integrity is who she is. Now, do you know what that means to you? You know what that means to you, each one of us, that she lives in her original purity and integrity? What? What does that mean to us?
What it means is that she's an
inherent world. That's all she knows about us, is who she is. That's, if she thinks we're stinkers, she's a stinker, you know? Terrible, isn't it? Have you ever thought anybody was a stinker?
No.
Oh, did you ever think anybody was a flake? That they did not take care of responsibility?
No.
No. Did you think that everybody in your world, and that's everybody, is a beautiful revelation of purity and truth?
Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm not kidding. These are not just words. These are experiences that you will have. Now, you are going to go back to your world after our seminar, and everything is going to fall right into place for you, right? Right?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. And isn't that wonderful?
It's wonderful.
And this character, he's going to go back to his world after he's enjoyed our sessions together, and he's going to look at his wife and he's going to say, you know, I knew you were good, but I didn't realize how good you are. Because you are every wonderful thing that I am, and I am all. So you are fantastic. She'll say, okay, the backdoor compliment is better than no compliment. But she is.
Yes.
She is. Because is she going to be your friend and helpmate as you go along through all the experiences you're having? Right. Are you going to follow her advice from time to time?
Uh-huh.
Are you going to follow her advice to you from time to time?
Yes.
Yes. I thought maybe that meant something, you know. No. Yes, you're going to follow her advice. What kind of advice does she give you?
That I'm beautiful. That I'm beautiful. That she
loves. She gives you advice. Son, I mean, husband,
unless you're the best man on earth.
What?
Unless you're the most wonderful man on earth.
Yeah, that's all good stuff. But be yourself and have fun is the advice she's giving you.
Yes.
Now, I'm throwing these answers to you, even though the answers you give are perfectly right. But I want you to play in the ballpark that I'm leading you to play in. Be yourself and have fun. I like me. You see, if we are simple, 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 it's easy. The moment we start getting complex, which all these are great statements, I've used them often myself. When I teach you, all right, I'm teaching you mathematics, and I'm saying, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, and you say, 2 times 3 is 6, and 2 times 9 is 18. Now, I didn't tell you that. I told you 2 times 2 is 4. Well, I want to say 2 times 3 is, well, then get yourself another teacher. Get yourself another teacher. As I am teaching 2 times 2 is 4, that's how I start out. And I will tell you, if you listen to me, you'll be happy. If you don't listen to me, you're going to work very hard. Because you're going to go 2 times 9, 2 times 6, 2 times 3, 2 times 4. And you're going to go up and down the scale. If you go 2 times 2 is 4, you learn the fundamental, the foundation of mathematics, and it works for all mathematics. And if you don't learn the foundation of mathematics, you've got to plug your way through. Each course is difficult. Now, he teaches people to use computers. Mr. Ed, this year. And as he teaches people to use computers, he said, let's learn the beginning. What is a computer? A computer is something that already knows what it's supposed to do, but it can do so many things. And you have to tell the computer what you want it to do. And so they say, well, I don't want to do that. I want to look at pictures, and I want to play games, and I want to do this. You know, they got all sorts of neat things. And he says, okay, go ahead. And then he goes to Seville, and he says, this is what computers are. And Seville says, yes, this is how, yes. And then Seville does what? She rises right to the top of the class because she follows instructions. She follows her teacher. She listens. She doesn't say, I'm going to play games. Playing games are fun too, but not during the training time. When you are being taught by your teacher, you listen. And you don't ad lib. I have many students who want to tell me their version of something. I'll say, I like me. And they'll say, I sure do like me. I'm a wonderful person. Well, now, that's not what I said. Keep it simple. I like me. Not I like me and I'm a wonderful person. I sure like me. You know, those are all good things. But I'm telling you this again and again and again because, as every good teacher knows, you keep it simple. You first learn the fundamentals. You first learn the foundation of whatever it is you're studying. And then you move on into more interesting steps. The steps are not very interesting if you haven't learned the foundation. If you haven't learned 2 times 2 is 4, mathematics is always going to be tough for you. I had mathematics teachers who didn't teach the fundamentals. They just taught what the book said. 2 times 2 is 2, 4 times 4 is 8, 2 times 8 is 16, you know, and then you had to learn all this stuff. And I never got excited about it. Math never made me excited. And then one day I had a teacher. It was a neighbor boy, in fact, Jimmy Fleischer. And he was about 2 or 3 years older than me, but he's a math whiz. And he brought over his slide rule, in the days of the slide rule before calculators and before adding machines and stuff. And on the slide rule, you move this slip along on the top of this piece of wood. You got numbers on, and you add and subtract and multiply and divide. And he showed me how to do that. And hey, that is cool. He said, but 2 times 2 is always 4. 2 plus 2 is always 4. And as he showed me that, I had a bing go on in my head, which said, hey, it's easy. It's a snap. And from then on, all of my work in mathematics was great. I went on into spherical trigonometry and geometry and all that other good stuff because it was fun. I had a teacher in high school who was teaching typing and who taught Shakespeare. And we took typing, and the next class was Shakespeare, and so we stayed in there for that. We learned. And the typing class was great. The typing I learned in the fundamental typing I used all of my life. All of my life, been a very foundational thing. But then she would get up there and she would emote. She would be a different lady. She's an actress, you know. And she'd stand up and, to be or not to be, that is the question. Well, there's just no rule of mine. And she'd go on in these Shakespearean quotations and we'd listen. And we'd think, fruity, fruity, you know, she's a little kooky. And then, but we had to listen to her for a whole hour. And we listened to her. And then she explained why they did those things. She explained why they used those words. She explained what the background was behind it. How it was a political satire on the old England at that time. And here, this one man who did not have that great an education, who did not have travel to Italy and Greece and France, all over the country. He stayed right in England. And everything he learned right there in England. But he didn't have an opportunity to learn all these things. What had to happen to him? What happened to Shakespeare? He listened within. He tuned in like Mozart. Mozart wrote every note of his composition without using an eraser because he knew the note he wanted and he put it down. There was no doubt about it. We don't know how quickly he wrote, but every single note he wrote was exactly the one he wanted. And Shakespeare, he wrote so profoundly, people tried to say, many other people are just like he. Many other people wrote that. Many other people joined. But they didn't. Because there was nobody. He is one of a kind. In all the writers of the English history, he's the only writer who had that magical approach to language, to people, to values, to judgments, to having people believe in themselves. He didn't have to have a lot of dirty talk like they have in the operas, you know, where one man is running after another man's wife, you know, and things like that, and they're killing each other and they're doing all sorts of stupid things. And the opera, you know, it's what all the rich people do, all the people of sophistication. Well, who needs that, you know? But when you read Shakespeare, a little archaic, but it's great because it teaches you some very significant values. Now, you don't need Shakespeare to learn the values. you already know everything that Shakespeare knows right inside of you. You already know right inside of you every single thing that Shakespeare ever had that was putting him on the path. And what did you do about it? Some of you used it a little bit, and some of you didn't. Now, she was using it in such a way, she said, I don't like what's happening. She says, I don't like what's happening. But did you do something about it? No. She just let other people take advantage of it. And then all of a sudden she says, I won't handle that. I know what is rightfully mine. What did she do then?
She tuned in.
She tuned into her inner self, and she said, okay, I put it in your hands. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. I don't have to worry one little bit how it's going to happen, how we're going to make it happen. All is in divine order. And because all is in divine order, what happens? She's going to see the answer, because when she goes home, it's going to be a continuing program, but it's done. Her work is done. She doesn't have to run around and try to make it happen. She just lets it happen because she puts the cause in motion in her. And that principle that's at work in her is at work in everybody in her world. And even people that are not in your world that you don't even know about. Even people who are in high levels who this comes to their attention, they say, I think we better give her a little back pay for making trouble for her. Give her a million or two, you know. That you can handle that, right? Yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Don't be so, my goodness sakes, you act like, yes, yes, yes. You gotta put a sparkle in your voice. Put a sparkle in yourself, you know? Do like Peter does. Whenever Peter looks at his friends, he puts those big teeth, see those big teeth? He's got a big set of smiling teeth there, all pure white, and people look at him and say, I believe in that man. And that's all he has to do. Now, people believe in him, and he never has to demonstrate, because then people believe in themselves. And that makes it really great. But that's what leaders are. They're charisma. They're magic. They believe in themselves. And they go around living like they believe in themselves. And all the world says, good morning, Sybil. How are you this morning? It's so nice to have you in my world. I have 3 phone calls ready this morning wishing me a happy birthday. And all of you, lovely, wishing me a happy birthday. And it's wonderful. I hadn't thought about it particularly, because I thought about it yesterday when we were talking about it. But today I sort of forgot. Because every day is my birthday. And that's kind of nice. So, think of these things for yourself. Remember, live principle. Speak principle. Say principle for every single thing you do. And watch how principle carries itself out in a perfect way for you. It is exciting. Have a lovely morning. And this morning, our first talk is going to be on knowing my values. And then we'll have graduation day.
Yes.
Yes. So, who's all graduating this morning? You! You, pussycat! You too? No, they finished the university junior course. And they received their certificates, but they didn't have...
Okay, they are graduating this morning.
That's right, that's right. But, hey, I like you. I mean, yes, I am too. You know, I think so too. I'm a graduate too. How about you?
I'm a graduate.
I'm a graduate. Lucky, are you a graduate?
Yes.
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 What about Mabel here? Do you think Mabel's a graduate?
Yes.
I don't think so. You know why I don't? You know why I don't think so? Oh no! You know why I don't think so? She didn't say so. Are you a graduate? I'm sorry.
Of course I'm a graduate.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I am.
Of course. Don't put a lot of words in there. Say yes or no. Yes, I am. Good, good, good. But no, that's important. That's important. The principal wants to hear yes or no. You put your foot on the brake, you want the car to stop. You don't want the car to say, you're a nice car now, I'm going to put my foot on you and the brake there, and I want you to stop, and we only got 2 seconds for us to do this now, so I'm going to slip down hard. You know, but whenever someone says, are you a graduate? You say, oh my, yes. I am a graduate of my inner school of peace and love and harmony, of balance, of goodness, of right action, truth, and so forth. You know. And just go on. And you just ask Sybil here. She's loaded. And this is what it's all about. But again, I say to you and to the rest of you, when you talk to me and I ask you a question, you don't have to give me some long, drawn-out answer. Yes or no will do it. Because maybe it's not a yes or no answer. How do you feel? Are you healthy?
Yes, I'm healthy.
No.
Yes.
Yes. Are you healthy?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, now, you may have a headache or something like that, but you're healthy, right?
Yes.
And you're putting the cause in motion that headache, it goes away.
Yes.
That it's no longer part of you. So you say, I'm healthy, I'm healthy, I'm healthy, I'm healthy. And what does a headache say about a healthy body?
It
doesn't want to be there.
No.
It's not being appreciated. Nobody loves a headache. You know? And so it moves out, which is a good idea, isn't it? Isn't that a good idea?
That's a good idea.
I think so too. Oh, you're all wonderful.
Sir, you have talked so much this morning, so beautiful, and that's how you talk all the time. And, you know, it's good while you talk, and we listen, and we need to go have a follow-up of what you're saying all the time. You know, like now, nobody's writing. And
it's in your heart.
I know, it's there in the heart.
Yeah.
But we still want to internalize it, right deep down in us, kind of something we hear all the time, you know, mm-hmm. because the consciousness out there, we have lived all throughout
that?
Our life, you know. We
how
need to change
that?
It. We That's want good. To change it. So how do we change it? How do we go about changing it? It's listening to this talk all the time. We want to have, you know, audio, cassette
right.
or whatever. Now listen.
What you are saying is already in the internet. So if you want to listen to it 24 hours,
I'll show you how to do it.
Hey, super.
So once you go into the internet,
24 hours,
his speeches are there. Back ones, today's ones.
Mr. Candle, meditation.
Yes, there are still there. Seminar, all
and,
the
and
seminars
they're there,
you have.
So to speak, forever.
Brain of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Actually, if you want to go there, you go. If you get to University of Healing, you go to search, type in whatever you want to listen to. They'll give you all the list of what
audio.
You want to listen to,
mm-hmm.
and then you can listen to whichever one you want.
They will show you.
Download
the
computer. Anytime you want, just click on it.
You can even download and burn on CD.
No, it doesn't burn on CD.
No, if you have it, burn on CD.
If he sends it by email to you,
he is
your computer.
He is an authority in
no,
the computer.
Just to do it. Now, because that one, I think that is copyright.
Which talk?
Yours is copyright.
Oh, no.
The one in University of Healing is
it says
healing.
That only to keep people honest.
Yeah,
but,
so
it's not copyright.
But I've discovered that when I put it into my computer, most of the time, I want to call it up, it will come up, but I can't copy it because it's
you
copyright.
Can happen.
You know, excuse me, you can do anything in Nigeria.
Yeah.
Once it is copyright,
so, from,
once it's copyright, we can do anything we want to do that.
Well, yeah. We're burning Nigeria.
On the front of our Joy Songbook, on the front of the Joy Songbook, we have copyright. And it says, you may use this, whatever you want to use, you can take it. It is, what do we say on there? We say something about, it's free for everybody. There is no copyright. Because, you see, Joy Songs is made up of things we take from everywhere. Music belongs to Mozart, some words belong to Yundi, and so, really, we can't copyright somebody else's work, but we can copy it, and so we've been enjoying it, and nobody can say, I can't sing lullaby and good night, I am God, God I am God, nobody can tell me I can't sing that, you know, but when we tell people about it, then as we tell people about it, what's happening? They begin to worry about it. You know? And it's a strange thing. So, but I understand your legality, and that's fine.
No, the ones that come through my email, I can do what I like with. I can copy that, I can burn that one to see that I can do anything. But no. Not the one from the University of Philly.
No. Where are you finding this in the University of Healy? Are you finding it in the archives?
That's I go to the archives studio.
And is that where you find it saying copyrights?
Yes. And then
it shouldn't be there.
What?
No, I say it shouldn't be there. But I don't know all these things. I heard it before. I said it. You know, I don't listen to my talks. I listen to some of them. But if indeed it says that that's copyrighted stuff, then we should make a change.
So they don't want to copyright it.
No, no. Why copyright? Can you imagine Jesus Christ copywriting his work? You know, and he said, "Now, if you don't belong to the Christian Church and follow the program of the Christian Church, you cannot follow this." I got Jews. I got Arabs. I've got Islamic people. I got people of all walks, of all faiths, taking our program here, and it's a non-copyrighted thing, and our books. It says copyright on it, but that's merely a formality.
Yeah, because I've tried so many times to download it, to copy it onto the CD. It didn't. Mm-hmm. But the one you sent me through my email, I do whatever I like with it because it came to me. Mm-hmm. So, but if you go to the archives and you want to, like Daniel's name was, and I want to get something from it, I listen to it after listening. I can download it into my internet or put it on my favorites. Anytime I want it, I click on it again, it comes up.
No.
But not to save on the CD.
I want you to tell me how you download the things on the archives.
No.
How do you do that? You said you did.
No.
I love it.
No.
People ask me to do it. I don't know how to tell them.
When you click on it, it comes straight.
Yes, right.
So there's nowhere to save that. That's from the archive. But if I put it in the, when I'm listening to it, I know my computer have a provision for save. Then I save it onto my computer to listen whenever I want. So whenever I want to listen to it, I must be on the internet. If I'm not, because anyway, my laptop is wireless. So the moment I click it, it goes back to the internet.
That's great. Are you aware of that?
Yeah.
That you can copy stuff off of the internet?
Yeah, you can copy
at least off our archives?
You can save it.
But you cannot.
You save it and then play it for yourself, huh?
Yes.
Yeah, but if you don't have.
I've never tried.
If you don't have a wireless in your computer and you click on it.
Well, of course, yeah. If you can't get on the internet, you can't get into the.
The way you are saving it is still the internet. It's still that one you're using. But if you use your CD to download it, to save it there, doesn't save.
There's
maybe
always a warehouse.
That's what I'm
saying. There's always a warehouse.
There's always
no,
a warehouse.
What happens is our servers here are local.
Yeah, and different programs we are using to listen to it.
They are local.
Most of them are encrypted. You can't do it.
Of course.
Even if you want to do it, you can't do
thank
it.
Thank you. Which is good morning.